So I'm going to talk today about a wholesome life, a life of health and wholeness. And I'm going to take a picture from the old covenant that's going to show us Jesus Christ. You know, it says in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 1, that the law, the teachings of Moses, they were a shadow of things to come. Now, things have already come. Jesus has come. But they were pointing to that. It says the same in Colossians 2:17. It says that the reality, you know, is in Jesus. The reality is in Him. Even though the law pointed to Jesus. Jesus Himself said that. He said, Moses and the prophets, they talk about me. And so I'm going to take one of those pictures. There's a chapter in the book of Leviticus called chapter 14. It's about the healing of a leper. And it's really about someone who has already been healed, who was going to have his healing verified. And so I love that chapter from the presupposition is in Leviticus 14 that God heals incurable diseases. So take that right now. If you have something that humanly is incurable, we have that record that they were counting on that God would heal incurable diseases. And so that's wonderful. And we believe that today. Just like that man you saw who had in 1996 received an extension. He was dying. The doctors had given up, but he lived. I guess I didn't do the math correctly last night, but it must have been about 27 years, I think. He lived extra. So thank God for that. God heals incurable diseases. So let's read here from Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2. This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. The very first thing is connect with your priest. And your priest is not Peter Youngren. Your priest is not your pastor. It's not Pastor Nathan. Your priest is Jesus Christ. We have a high priest. And our high priest is different than the religious high priest of the Jewish religion, because that high priest, he would go in once a year into the Holy of Holies and he would do the sacrifice. But our priest, it says in Hebrews 8:1, we have a priest who is not just going in and out of the Holy of Holies, but he sat down. And that means that there's no more sacrifice needed after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So number one, connect with your priest, Jesus Christ. And you know, in the old covenant, the priest had three functions. One was to release the forgiveness of sin. Another one was to mediate between the people and God. And the third was to release blessing on the people. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who has forgiven your sins. He has mediated for you so that you have easy access to God. And the blessing flows from Jesus Christ, because blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in Christ. So what? Here's my second point. Verify your healing. So why were they going to the priest? The leper had been healed. He was going to have it examined. It's like going to the doctor today. Jesus practiced this when the 10 lepers were healed in the Gospel of Luke. He says, go show yourself to the priest. It's like go and check with your doctor. We say that sometimes to people. I said that to people yesterday. On the one side, we walk by faith. And maybe your medical doctor doesn't operate by faith. No, he's operating by his senses, by his or her scientific knowledge. But you walk by faith. You are a Jesus follower. But that doesn't negate that what God does in the supernatural realm of divine healing can be verified and should often be verified in the natural realm. It's okay. I have been privileged on a number of occasions. It happened just recently. We do so many festivals, I almost forget what happened where. But where we have had medical doctors on the platform. And they actually, before the people are allowed to come up and give their testimony on the microphone, that medical doctor who's acting like in the moment as an usher, he's just one of the ushers. And we could have several of them. They test the people best they can. Of course, sometimes you need more instruments and equipment to do a proper test. I remember in one of our festivals, there was a young girl. This was over in Southeast Asia. And she needed a heart transplant. And She had to go to Singapore, which has more medically advanced system than some of the other countries, but she had no money. They were a poor family, and it was a rainy day in the stadium. The rain was pouring, and she was thinking, should I really bring my daughter? You know, it's raining. It's irresponsible of me as a mother. She's dying. She doesn't get a heart transplant. So they came anyhow, and they believed. They didn't see anything, but they believed Jesus had healed them. So they came. She was overwhelmed. The mother was crying. The girl was saying, something is happening in my body. So they came to the platform. But you know, I had medical doctors as ushers. They wouldn't let them up. They said, oh, we can't let you get up there and say you've been healed and had a heart transplant, because we don't know that for sure. So I didn't know any of this. I was just in a happy bliss on my own, you know, talking to others. But they stopped her. They stopped the mother. They stopped the daughter. And I didn't know anything about it. Nobody ever told me, you know, because they were probably afraid that I would disagree with them. So they never told me. Well, a year later, I was back in the same stadium. And the same mother and the same daughter came, and we still had doctors as ushers. And, you know, she came with her doctor's certificate. My daughter has received a new heart. My daughter is healed. So I believe, you see, we are not operating here just praying for people and saying, well, you know, don't go to the doctor. They're not walking by faith. No, what God does can be tested. Let's read some more. The priest shall command to take for him who is cleansed two living and clean birds. One of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water, and dip the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and sprinkle that, the blood that is, seven times on him who is cleansed from the leprosy, and you pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Well, there's a lot of symbolism in there. We can say that you and I are the living bird. We've been dipped, so to speak, in the blood and the redemption of Jesus Christ, and we fly freely. But it's all connected here, so they're saying to this person who had leprosy, you are healed, you are clean, but we are making a sacrifice. So we're saying, focus on that. Your healing is connected to a sacrifice. And I say the principle here is, live in consciousness of Christ's sacrifice. That's for you who are not sick. This is a good time to start practicing. Don't wait till the doctor says you got a month to live. Start thanking God right now that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. Start praising God right now that Jesus is your health. The Lord is the strength of my life. Don't wait till someday when you say, oh, hey, you're in a panic. Oh, Pastor Nathan, pray for me. No, start praising Jesus. Everybody do it right now. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. You are my healer. You are my health now. And there's a great object lesson here. There was a mixture of blood and water. You know, the blood speaks of the blood of Jesus. By his stripes we were healed. The water, according to Ephesians chapter 5, that we are sanctified by the water of the Word. Now, in the Bible, when it says the Word, it means the living Word, which is Jesus Christ, which is the most important. Because what about all the illiterate people in the world who can't read the Bible? What about all the years before we had a Bible, people still received the Word, which was Jesus Christ. And then the written Word, which is the Scripture, it verifies what He does and who He is, who is the living Word. But we preach the Bible. Of course, I'm quoting from the Bible. I'm showing you how much I love the Bible every Sunday, and so is Pastor Nathan. But we really are lifting up the living Word, Jesus Christ. He is your healer. He is your substitute. He took your place. He did what you couldn't do. If you went into the boxing ring with the devil, you would be knocked flat. But He went in there for you, and He knocked the devil flat. And your victory is in His victory. And so I say to you, when it comes to healing, there seems to be in this object lesson that this is reinforced, that the healing is connected to a sacrifice. Your healing is connected to what Jesus has done. Don't hook it on to, oh, so-and-so prayed for me. So-and-so proclaimed you're healed. So-and-so did such and such a prayer. So-and-so fasted for me. Okay, don't hang your healing on that. Connect your health and wholeness to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen to that? Stick with that. Let me read some more. Then it says, for this leper who has been cleansed, he shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water. You know, this is very practical. Shave all his hair and all of it, and then wash yourself. It seems like a hygienic thing, doesn't it? Well, I say, I get the interpretation of this, get rid of unnecessary weights. Now, once you've encountered Jesus, you have a new lifestyle. He blessed you, but now things change. You know, there's a double picture. There's a spiritual picture here. Spiritually, things are changing, but naturally, things change. Now, you're getting quiet. As long as I talk about the heavenly places, you're shouting. Now, I'm talking about the earthly places where you live. Discipline. You know, you need less salt and less sugar. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about less salt and sugar. Come on. Too much salt is bad for your blood pressure, which is the number one killer. Too much sugar, well, it just messes everything up. But you say, but I got such a sweet tooth. We believe in deliverance from sweet teeth. Well, if Jesus is able to take you to heaven, if Jesus is able to rapture the whole church, if Jesus is able to do all these things, could he help you with your sweet tooth? Could you commit your sweet tooth to Jesus? I need help with that. One thing is when you go to the grocery store, don't buy it. Because if you buy all those Oreo cookies and they're sitting there, you feel like it's a waste. I got to eat them. So walk in victory when you go to the grocery store. It'll be easier to have victory at home if you had victory when you go to the grocery store. So that's what you need to do. Come on. Cannot Jesus help you with this? Get rid of some of this. He said, wash your hair, clean yourself up, change things. You know, a lot of people still smoke. We are not condemning or looking down on anybody. You can smoke all you want, but I don't recommend it. It kills you. Why should you damage your lungs? Why should you hurt yourself? You're a Jesus person. You have encountered him. You're connected with his sacrifice. The same Jesus who set you free from the sweet tooth and you can commit it to him, commit the cigarettes to him too. And you know, people say, oh, I need all that cannabis because it calms my nerve. You know, recent studies says, yes, cannabis, medical cannabis, or whatever kind of cannabis calms your nerves and it helps you with mental illness, but only for a short time. Studies show that actually it worsens the mental condition over a longer period, even though it eases it immediately. I'm not against if you have smoked a joint coming here, you say, I need to calm down to go and hear that preacher. All right, that's okay. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, now that you have Jesus, couldn't Jesus help you with that? Come on, I'm talking, couldn't Jesus help you? You know, and then spiritually get rid of dumb ideas. There's so many dumb religious ideas out there. Traditions of man. It says, you know, Titus 2, that the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared to all people. And this grace of God will teach us to live godly in this present age. So the main teacher in your life is God's grace, God's goodness, disciplines and helps us because God loves us so much, he will not turn his back on us, that we want to love God back because he first loved us. We love also. Yeah, this is practical. You see, people have strange ideas. They think of all kinds of strange things, but it's God's grace. It says it in Romans 5:17, a verse that is well familiar, hopefully, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So to reign in life, to be mentally, emotionally, physically strong, what you need are two things. You need abundance of grace and you need the gift of righteousness. Now, let me address something. Some people are very devil focused. Keep that verse up there. Does it say, much more those who receive deliverance from all demons, they will reign in life? No. You know, I had a sweet lady yesterday at the end of the service. Sweet lady. She had paid $100 to come here last night, she told me. And she said, I have an offering. She said, $50. It cost her a lot to come. She said, I got your book, Jesus Christ Heals. I have that book right here, a copy of it. She said, I'm here. And she says, I believe in Jesus. But she said, I go to a church and they tell me I have demons. I said, why did they tell you that? Oh, because at a certain season in my life, I was dabbling a little bit in the occult. So I said, have you received Jesus? She said, yeah. And I could see out of her eyes, she was full of peace and love and joy. So I said to her, when I look at you, I don't see demons. I see Jesus. You know what she did? She leaned over and gave me a big slobbery kiss on the cheek. Now, don't worry, Tina, she was an elderly lady, you know, it was a holy kiss. And it was wet on my cheek. She was just so happy. She was just so happy for me telling her, I see Jesus in you. You know, I've had it with this foolishness. So what if you dabble in the occult? Is that so powerful? You think you're so special so that Jesus' blood couldn't deal with you? Just receiving Jesus and confessing him as Lord wasn't enough because you had your little specialty moment when you did a little heebie-jeebie, whatever you did, woongo-boongo, whatever you did there, whatever little thing you did. You think that's so powerful? That's your trump card. Yeah, yeah. What works for everybody else doesn't work for me because I played with a Ouija board. Well, goody for you. Your Ouija board experience is nothing compared to when you confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And here this poor lady, you know, she has just got so happy. As I was telling her, you have Christ living in you. Minimize devils and enlarge Jesus in your life. See how big Jesus is. Amen. Get rid of unnecessary weights. We're not talking here about behavioral modification. We're talking about heart transformation. That once you encounter Jesus, it affects your lifestyle, it affects your belief, it affects your theology. You begin to see that God is just like Jesus. Oh, come on. Once we are healed, once you encounter Jesus, you are more willing to let God deal with other areas in your life. Is that right? Once you encounter God's love, you say, God, you can work in other areas. But the blessing comes first, full of grace. It says about a man who was lame for 38 years. It says, after he had been healed, John 5, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. See, in a modern day church, very often, the preacher would mess up this verse so bad. They would make such a stinking mess of it to put you in condemnation. They would turn everything Jesus said around. They would say, well, if you want to be healed, you better go and sin no more first. You better get rid of everything. Clean yourself up. Then God will heal you. This verse says the opposite. You have been made well. Obviously, he wasn't cleaned up yet. He hadn't stopped sinning yet. He was healed even while he was still sinning. I knew that your religious brain is rattled right now, and I can see that. I said he obviously was healed while he was still in sin. Because Jesus says, you have been made whole, now sin no more. That's the worst thing. So you don't get back into something worse. But what comes first is the blessing. So that means, I don't know who you could be. I mean, we are in a nice Sunday morning here, but people may watch this on television. You may be a real bad, rotten apple. I don't know. Don't look at your neighbor now. Maybe that person sitting beside you, that person watching television, maybe you're a bad, rotten apple. And that's a nice way of saying it. Jesus heals you just as you are. The blessing comes first. But then you are in trouble. You see, if you want to keep living that rotten life after Jesus says, heal you, now you kind of know this thing is real. What are you going to do about it then? But this is a beautiful truth, and I hope you will choose then to say, I'm going to serve Jesus. But this is a beautiful truth. The blessing comes freely. Jesus never said to somebody, well, I'd like to heal you, but I don't know if you're ready yet. You know, I don't. You have some things going on in your life. We need to deal with that first. Never. Paul talked about the same thing. He says in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now again, preachers would make a mess out of this verse. They turn it on its head and they twist it so it's nothing like what the Bible says. They will say to you, you need to deal with the lust of your flesh. Get rid of the lust of the flesh and then you'll get the Spirit. But here it says the first thing to do, walk in the Spirit. That means you have the Spirit. Walk in what you have. Be who you are. And then you will find that the lust of the flesh is dissipating and you will not yield to that because the Spirit becomes so strong in you. You see, again, I say healing, encountering God, being blessed by God, it causes us to realize how valuable we are to God and how abundant His grace is. And that empowers us. So we're not doing behavior modification, but it's a natural behavior that comes out of the transformation of our heart. I read some more. Leviticus 14. On the eighth day, so this is now 8 days after the first checkup. On the eighth day, he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb without blemish, and he will kill the lamb. You can read the whole context. So what is this telling us? Well, you had 1 sacrifice with birds, now you have lambs. It is to continue to focus on the source of your healing. So now this person has been healed for 8 days and he has to go and visit the priest again. And now they make another sacrifice. It seems like they are wanting to tell that person your healing is connected to a sacrifice. And I tell you today, your healing, your wholeness, your healthy living is connected, yes, to the sacrifice of your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we thank God for medical doctors, but the great healer and all healing ultimately is from God. And it's connected to what Jesus Christ has done for you. So it seems that there's a repetition. It's like, okay, we did 1 sacrifice. Now 8 days later, we do another one. So you get it. You need to get it. There's a connection here. And so it's a very thorough. I like the thoroughness of this work. Systematic. They didn't just say, oh, you've been healed of leprosy. God bless you. Go your way. No, no. They said, we're going to make a sacrifice and then make another one here so that you don't forget how it works. That's why I'm glad in our church that at least this year, we have every month 1 Sunday where we say it's healing day. It's healing day. We don't want you to wait till the moment you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you you're in stage 4 or you're in this situation and everybody is panicking. No, we want you to walk in divine health today. Hallelujah. We want you to live in divine health. Oh, praise God. Praise God. People are being healed as I'm speaking right now. Put your hand on your chest for a moment over your heart and say, I receive Jesus as my healer. He is my health. He is my strength. I will live the full number of my days. For the Lord is my healer. He is the Lord who heals me. I receive that. Amen. You see, sometimes people think that healing is like a quick fix. Just like, oh, I'm in trouble. Just do a quick fix here. Well, of course, God can give you a quick fix. That's not the point. But to walk in healing. I mean, every one of us need to be reminded of this, especially when you're healthy, especially when everything is going well. Give praise to God. Let's read some more. The priest shall take some of the blood and he shall put it on the tip of the right ear and on the thumb of the right hand and on the big toe on his right foot. Well, how do I interpret that? That's quite a procedure. So you take the blood, put it on the tip of the ear, on the thumb, and on the big toe. And I interpret that as live life, all of it. Everybody say all of it. Connected to Jesus Christ. So he's saying now the earlobe, your hearing, what you listen to. Maybe you'll change the way you listen to things. You'll start listening to things you didn't used to listen to. And your thumb, you know, that's a symbol of our action. You can't get too much done. You can't do a real solid handshake if you don't have a thumb. And so your thumb, your actions, your lifestyle, it means the big toe to me means wherever you walk, your path through life. Everything is connected to Jesus Christ. Live life, all of it. Your economy, your education, your career, your relationship. Don't regress to doubt and unbelief. Don't have a moment, oh, the doctor gave you a bad report, and now suddenly, oh, I want to know about faith. I want to live by faith now for the next 2 days till I get healed, and then I just go back to my same old. No. Walk this beautiful life where Jesus Christ is there at the center. He's helping you. You are conscious of the fact that I was bought with a price. There's a calling, there's a mandate on my life. You know that? That's not for the pastor to claim. That's for every believer to claim. There is a calling, there's a mandate, there's a destiny on your life. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of this spiritual family right in this house. You are sanctified. The Bible says you are, even if you don't agree with me. It says we have all been sanctified by the sacrifice of Jesus. Sanctified means to be set apart. Be ye holy, be ye set apart, God says, as I am set apart. So God has set himself apart, how? To love you. So set yourself apart to walk in his love and to walk by faith and by his grace. Let me read some more. And then they had a cup of oil with this as well, with the blood there. And it says, Leviticus 14, and of the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear, and the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood. So the oil was to put on top of the blood. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on his head. This is quite a healing follow-up. Yeah, one sacrifice of birds, then you have a sacrifice of lamb, then you have all this procedure, the big toe, the big thumb, the ear with blood, then you take the oil and go through the same thing again. And the guy is sitting there, oh boy, I've been healed. It's a big deal. I've been healed. You know, what are they teaching me? For us, again, remember, the law speaks as a shadow of things to come. They point to Jesus. They point to the new covenant. So we know in the new covenant, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. So the principle I get out of this is lean on the Holy Spirit, your helper. The oil, the power of the Spirit was flowing and operating, being applied where the blood had been applied. And you know, the Holy Spirit really has, according to Jesus, there's one thing Jesus says that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to tell you of me. And I'm concerned about the abusive discredit of the Holy Spirit that is happening. I'm concerned about so-called prophets who break the second commandment to take the name of the Lord in vain. Like a prophet just the other day said that the Baltimore Bridge that collapsed, that was God. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Don't go around and say, oh, God told me this, unless you know it was God. You know, one prophet that you all would know prophesied for years that the year Billy Graham dies, it will be a worldwide revival. Didn't happen. Nobody ever apologized and said, sorry, I said that God said that, but I took his name in vain. I just used his name to make myself look holy, like I'd heard something that I hadn't heard at all. That's breaking the second commandment. It's getting quiet here now. And don't blame it on the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit should know. You know why that bridge collapsed in Baltimore? It was either something faulty with the equipment on the ship, or it was the pilot, or it was that tugboat, or it was some other missing barricades. That's why God did not break that bridge and cause six workers to die at the bottom of that ocean, of that river. No, God didn't do that. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain on Christian television and say God did something he didn't do. God didn't do that. God is a good God. Jesus said, if you want to know what God is like, look at me. Now, you know, there's an eclipse coming up. Set your alarm clock because it's going to be over in 3 minutes. I've even heard some suggest this is a sign of the end of the world. But remember tomorrow afternoon when you set your clock and you watch that eclipse, we'll see a lot of it here, not total. And in 3 minutes, it'll be gone and the world will still be here and you will be here. Pinch yourself and said, Pastor Peter was right and those dumb prophets were wrong. The end of the world didn't happen and they weren't really prophets at all. Come on, are you with me? I don't know why people, it's a beautiful, beautiful wonder of nature. I'm going to set my alarm. Yeah, 3:19 tomorrow afternoon. I'm going outside. Yeah. Because I figure that the next eclipse is coming 2144. So in case I'm not around, I mean, I could be around. don't count me out. But in case I don't make it to 2144, I'm gonna get the one in 2024. Are you with me? And I'm not going to be nervous. I'm going to be rejoicing. I'm going to tell all of our staff here, shut down your computers, go out in the parking lot and stand there. And don't lose your eyesight by looking into the sun and rejoice that Jesus is still Lord, that people are still going to get saved, that life is good and you're going to prosper and be healthy. See, people speak the dumbest things in the name of the Lord and they blame it on the Holy Spirit then. No, don't do that. The Holy Spirit has come to show us Jesus. You know, somebody's, there's so many demons. No, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit showed me that. No, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was your wild fantasy. Because nowhere did Jesus say that when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will show you how big the devil is. Could you find that in the Bible anywhere? No, he will tell you of me. He will remind you of me. It's all about Jesus. And he does that despite any failure in your life. You look so innocent now. I don't think anybody has ever failed in this room. He does it in spite of your failures, and he does it in response to your failure to help you. Where you came short, he helps you. He lifts you up. And then there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and those are beautiful gifts. And one of those areas of gifts are the gifts of healing. And those gifts of healing are available to us. Would you lift your hand right now and just begin to say, thank God. Thank God for the healing power of Jesus. I thank you, Lord.